are listening to a free version of Majority Report with Sam Steeder. To support this show and get another 15 minutes of daily program, go to majority.fm, please.
The Majority Report with Sam Steeder.
It is Wednesday, January 31st, 2018. My name is Sam Steeder. This is the five-time award-winning Majority Report. We are broadcasting live steps from the industrially ravaged Gowanus Canal in the heartland of America, downtown Brooklyn, USA. On today's program, Trump's lackluster speech does really well with Trump voters. Meanwhile, Trump to keep Gitmo open and to cronyize all parts of our government. Puerto Rico aid cut off, despite the fact that 35% of the island is without electricity. Meanwhile, a D.C. Circuit Court upholds the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau's independence, now probably on to the Supreme Court. ICE ignores a House of Representatives directives and deports a man living in the U.S. for over 40 years. Meanwhile, Trump at historically low approval in all the right places. And the heartwarming story of a Trump political appointee, perfect for Trump, but too racist to drive in an Uber car. Meanwhile, Trump's top health official traded tobacco stocks and now has resigned. Cape Town is facing a total absence of water. Mike Thernovith has found a job as a bagman. We'll report on that. And the real aim of the Devin Nunes memo. All that and more on today's program. Ladies and gentlemen, we were up late, obviously, last night watching the State of the Union address. If you joined us, thank you for joining us. And I feel compelled to apologize, but I'm not responsible for Donald Trump's speech and making you watch it. But yeah. I think we tried to do... I just feel like being in any way associated with the idea that someone sat through that, I feel like I should apologize to.
I don't know why. I wouldn't have watched it if we were not working.
Oh, yes. Definitely not.
I'm sorry. I feel like it's fair that you all file a grievance with the National Labor Relations Board.
Oh, yeah. Good luck with that. We can't even file grievances if you got your arms sawed off because of lack of safety procedures now. It's my government.
Exactly.
Paul's got some really interesting ideas about the national labors.
In fact, I think you guys should have to watch it again.
Yeah, I think you should have to watch it again. And by the way, sick days are now a thing of the past. I was talking with the steak doctor about that. You can have pneumonia and make steak.
Let me just tell you the story about Mike Thurmanovich that is out there right now. We may want to get one of those drops. So, as you know, Gawker is in bankruptcy proceedings at this moment, and people are lining up to purchase Gawker or its remaining assets. That would be the archives, and of course the URL, and one of those people who has submitted a proposal to Ropes & Gray, the law firm representing Gawker and its bankruptcy proceedings, is from Mike Thurmanovich.
Mike Sermich, Sermich.com.
Mike Sermich, Sermich.com. And as you know, he is a alt-right, white supremacist friendly date rape denying, formally charged with rape, but pled down to a misdemeanor. He's also been widely disgraced very recently for passing around fraudulent material, not the least of which he also, I'm not sure if you're aware of this, attempted to get me fired from MSNBC and was successful for a day or two.
You're also,
and then it sort of it blew up in his face. Yeah.
Who's laughing now, Sam?
Oh, that would be me.
Don't forget
that would
laugh.
Be me. I'm laughing now. That would be me.
Most importantly, the subject of an upcoming documentary.
That's right. That's a good reminder. Thank you. That's going to be coming out soon. Oh, that would be great to have that in time for the Gawker purchase.
That's what
would
I'm
you
saying.
Make a note, Brendan, for me to get in touch with our documentary filmmaker? That was supposed to happen a while ago. Okay, so he is offering $500,000 in cash. Now, it's not clear if he's offering it, or he claims to be offering it. It's not clear where that money's coming from. It's quite possible that Mike Cernanovich has $500,000 that he is sitting on in cash. We know that his ex-wife had to give him a big alimony payment. One would imagine if he was able to generate $500,000 extra, right? On top of everything else, from actual work he was doing, maybe that alimony would have ended by now. But that would be, I don't know. That's pretty hard to believe. It's just hard to believe. I don't know. But, and he writes in his letter to the law firm, for the past 18 months, I'm sorry. I apologize.
You just have to be accurate.
I can't tell if this is a typo or what. We have a problem with our printer. For the past 18 months, I've assembled a video and audio crew who are talented at creating viral content. I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
Accuracy.
Yes. Okay. He writes in a letter. This is addressed to Gawker, bankruptcy plan administrator William Holden. I also work with a network of independent journalists. Since Gawker had brands like a Miffin, a blog with a high page rank, and two large social media accounts, my team will be able to leverage these properties. McKinney, my journalistic work. I'm sorry. I'm doing my best here, folks. It seeks ownership of Gawker's domain names and the 200,000-odd archived articles. The offer of letter links to a password-protected slide deck that describes his media company. Quote, we follow the precept that conflict is attention and seek to break stories that involve high human drama. So, for instance, one of the stories they might follow is that story of that guy... Posobiec.
Something.
Who got busted for and bounced from Bumble because Bumble apparently is a female oriented dating service.
You don't need to elaborate on that.
And Posobiec
got bounced from Bumble because it's a female oriented dating service.
Well, they just didn't want neo fascists and people who cavort with date rape denialists to be on there. And then the really uncomfortable part for Jack Posobiec is that it turns out his new wife is pregnant. Now, look, I've been there.
And is she also on Bumble?
No, apparently it's unclear.
It's like, how dare you?
I've been there.
She is now.
Yeah, she is now. Now it's she's making moves.
If I had some advice to impart, I would just say, hang in there. It is very difficult sometimes. Wives when they're pregnant, I imagine men too, but and certainly
when they're pregnant, Samantha.
Well, you know what I'm saying. During a pregnancy, it can be difficult. They, you know, because it's a trying time. Everybody's a little stressed, but going on Bumble and trying to hook up, not worth it. And then is this the one where he cried? Because this is pretty dramatic. This I feel like this would be something that Cernanovich would play on Gawker. Let's play. Just play this clip. This is from Nathan Bernard. He did a little compilation. The
He's
sad
our buddy.
Part is when Posebiak starts Posebek. I'm sorry. Starts to almost cry and break down a little bit.
My wife is never going to leave me. I have got no need to use any kind of these apps because, look, why do you go out? Why would you go out for hamburgers when you got steak at home? You know what I'm saying? And there's we met at Bible study 3 years ago. My wife is she's hot. I mean, I'm just going to say it. She knows she is. I know she is. Everyone knows she is.
Yeah. What the fuck?
Oh my God. It's almost. You know, so that's something that I would like to see on the new Mike Thernovitz Gawker.
Can I just say that the people involved in the modern alt-right and fascist movement are incredibly mentally stable.
Well,
they all,
you know,
share a real commonality of a lot, like, of emotional development.
It's
and
like
mental
the guest
stability.
We had on Monday, Picciolini, yes. who was describing, like, these people are just lost, and maybe they end up in full-on fascist skinhead things, or they become these guys.
And
now,
this is what Scott Atran talks about with ISIS recruiting. It's all the same stuff.
And so the 18-page presentation spotlights Thernovitz's 2015 self-published book, Guerrilla Mindset. Which is a self-help book for men hoping to become alpha males. I wonder, do you think that Posobiec read that? Because if so, it doesn't speak too well.
He's nailing it.
Refund.
So.
It also boasts about the size of Cernovich's social media following, which includes an audience of some 400,000 on Twitter and Facebook. Now, he, for some reason, it's very odd. He blocked me just at the time that he was going to start gloating about getting me fired. I don't know why he did that. And four of the 18 pages are the same title card with the Cerno Media log. So we will see. Good luck to Mike Thernovitz. I hope that whoever you're buying that magazine for or that website for on their behalf, that you enjoy a lot of the theft.
And I have an assignment for you, you stupid freaking gorilla. You think you can handle it? Or is it going to be another theater job, you fucking loser?
That's right.
I hate you so much.
Actually, you know what? We should probably get that documentary going, and maybe I should send a letter to, because I'm going to look into that. I happen to know a lot of bankruptcy attorneys.
That would be a great newsroom-style sitcom where Peter Thiel's the owner and Cernovich is like
just the most
I mean, as degrading as it would be for Gawker to be purchased by Mike Cernovich, I'm sorry, Thernovitz, it would be gratifying to watch that man get cucked over and over again by a gay man.
Yeah, Thernovitz.com, right. Okay, Mike, here's what we're doing today.
Right.
You're going to search through somebody's garbage and get yourself up here.
Hey, folks, it is now officially 14 and a half days away from Valentine's Day. And let me just tell you this. Giving your guy a box of chocolates on Valentine's Day, boring. I got to be honest with you. That is the last thing I want on Valentine's Day is a box of chocolates. Don't want it. But here's an idea. You could surprise them with a heart-shaped box of delicious beef jerky.
Sweet.
It's the ultimate snack aphrodisiac. See what I did there?
Wow.
Oh, you did that?
Sure. Introducing mancrates.com. It's the only place to find awesome gifts that guys love. All right, so now these are not like colognes or I don't know what would you imagine? It's a
man crate.
A crate to keep my men in.
It's a crate to keep your men in.
Now, knives, jerky.
Well, you knew that already. It offers curated gift. Man crates offers curated gift collections for every type of guy, from the sports fanatic to the home chef to the outdoorsman. You can get classics like the NFL barware crate. I feel like that would be good for some of my in-laws. They're big. There's also a whiskey appreciation crate.
Nice.
Which is nice.
Mm-hmm.
There's fresh takes on traditional Valentine's Day gifts like the jerky heart I mentioned or the salami bouquet. Okay, so for me, I'm not fishing for anything here, folks. There's a knife you can actually, there's like a woodworking project that you can make a knife. Yes. Has a piece of steel. It's somewhat shaped in the knife, but you'd have to sharpen it. Then you also, you carve out the handle. I mean, it's that type of stuff. There's also, oh, that's cool. They also have like a knife set. It's a whole mixture of stuff. It's pretty cool. He'll fall head over heels when his gift arrives and he gets to pry open the wooden crate within its included crowbar. They have thousands of 5-star reviews. Every gift comes with a complete satisfaction guarantee. Check it out. Go to mancrates.com/majority. You get 5% off. They don't offer a discount anywhere else. Get 5% off right now at mancrates.com/majority. Go check it out. You'll be impressed. Mancrates.com/majority.
Sounds very butch.
It's a little bit, it's a butch. I mean, it's a little butch, but you know, for me, like I'm not going to have the NFL barware. That's just, that time has passed for me, but
cool.
Making my own knife, like a woodworking set.
Yeah. That's actually a cool project.
That's right up my,
that's a cool project.
Yeah. I would do that too.
No, you wouldn't. You already.
All right, let's get into the lowlights of last night's. Now look, there's a lot of obviously I haven't watched the news today. I'm not going to lie to you because I just couldn't bear to. Donald Trump got up there. He was heavily sedated. I think people who were tuning in hoping that he would put on a show were disappointed.
May I just add something really quickly? I listened to Mike Murphy once, that Republican consultant. And he said, you know, he wasn't talking about Trump because he was an anti-Trump or whatever, but they were talking about this before one of the debates with Hillary, and they were talking about how Trump might be drugged, and they were joking, but they were also like, you know, this is something we do. Like, we joke about it, but there have been plenty of candidates who have been on, you know, drug cocktails if they're perceived to not be able to, like, perform in a debate or something.
Of course. So, like,
this is based speculation.
I am reporting them for boss baby abuse.
There you go. So a couple of moments that are important, though. And if you didn't see it, I think it was probably around Reagan, where this practice of bringing someone to the State of the Union and using them as some type of prop, right? And it usually had to do with some type of bromide about the military or something to that effect. You know, a victim of crime to show that, you know, the crime is rampant and that the inner cities are a problem or something to that effect. It would be interesting to, I have not seen the analysis. I'd be surprised if somebody hasn't done it. The amount of moments, minutes that were spent on that, it's almost flipped from its original introduction. Trump spent at least, I don't know, 50%, 60% of the speech talking about individuals who were brought to the State of the Union, which smart idea, I think, making the State of the Union, you know, even more useless, but smart idea. And but there's a couple of things that are important that he did say. Now, look, Donald Trump is a pathological liar, and there's no reason to assume that when he says something that it's actually going to end up being even a policy proposal. However, there is value in assessing these things to put down a marker, because some of this stuff was fairly dangerous. I should just say, start off by saying that Trump's State of the Union address, 48% say they had a very positive impression of the speech. That is down from 57% of the speech watchers after his first address. And it marks Barack Obama's rating after his first State of the Union addresses, according to a new CNN poll. However, it's the lowest net positive rating for a State of the Union address since at least 1998. There is no equivalent poll for addresses before 98.
He's not going to like that.
And again, this survey reflects only the views of those who watched the speech, not all Americans. And obviously, we're a little bit biased here, so it's hard to know. But I feel fairly confident saying that the number of people who watched that speech is lower than the number of people who watched Obama's first State of the Union. Because I think a lot of people just can't bring themselves to do so. People who choose to watch a political speech tend to be more supportive of the speaker than the general population. The sample was about 7 points more Republican than the entire American population. So that gives you a sense right there. And of course, a lot of people identify as independent, end up voting Republican, et cetera, et cetera. All of those caveats. But let's get into the specifics. Here is Donald Trump. He is ostensibly talking about Veterans Affairs, but he calls for something that is rather disturbing. Now, in 2000, I think it was 8 or 9, I did this thing at the Aspen Ideas Festival with Janine Garofalo. We hosted some panel where Grover Norquist was on. It was supposed to be like a comedy thing. And Grover Norquist was maniacally, and I do mean this, we were doing a comedy. It wasn't even videotaped or anything. This is like, I don't know, maybe it was 200 or 300 people in the room. And Janine and I were hosting. And I would ask him a question. And regardless of what the question was or how benign or whatever, he started to rail on public sector employees about them having advantages, about them having pensions and this and that. That was a big thing in the wake of the financial crisis for him. It got to the point where I actually had to stop the conversation and say, dude, there's no cameras here. Like, you don't need to keep repeating this. But he was practicing. And we have come to see that we are, you know, between first Friedrichs and now Janus case, this assault on the public sector union employees has been in the making for a long time. And here is Trump taking it to the next level.
Americans deserve accountability and respect. And that's what we are giving to our wonderful heroes, our veterans. Thank you. So tonight I call on Congress to empower every cabinet secretary.
Pause it. Okay. Now, just a roll back. Here's where you see the little bit of like a bait and switch. I'm going to be talking about veterans, and now I'm going to give every cabinet secretary this power. Right? Good.
So tonight I call on Congress to empower every cabinet secretary with the authority to reward good workers and to remove federal employees who undermine the public trust or fail the American people.
Okay, so now maybe at first blush it sounds good. Oh, we want cabinet secretaries to be able to reward people who are good and kick out people who are bad. But understand how this can work with a Donald Trump, or really any administration, but let's just use Donald Trump since he's the president. Sadly. You regulators are following the environmental laws. I don't like that. My cabinet secretary doesn't like that. Scott Pruitt doesn't like that. You're all fired. No protection, no redress, no statutorily we're supposed to prevent people from dumping toxic materials into this river just because Scott Pruitt doesn't like it.
I can't wait to see a bunch of scientists go on a picket line.
I mean, this is the type of stuff, though, that can happen. You could actually, you know, you have regulators out there who have been working in the government on a nonpartisan way for years, a company, let's say, that is, violating the law in some fashion or another, I'm going to have my Treasury Secretary fire you because, of course, those are my friends. I mean, when you do this, when you do not provide some type of institutional protection for people in government to do their jobs and just make it based upon the whim of the president with no checks or balances, you're going to have a real problem.
On this note, there's a bunch of scientists in Scientific American that were upset that Bill Nye attended last night.
Well, there you go.
Dude, scientists are pissed right now.
Well, listen.
I was not being facetious.
As it exists, civil servants cannot be fired unless there is cause. Good cause. Legitimate reason to be fired.
Right.
And you get that, and that's once you've served for a 3-year probationary period. So you earn that after 3 years. What Trump is calling for is basically to get rid of that so they can clean house of people who want to do the job they're there to do. So that's something to put a marker on. Here is Donald Trump citing another statistic that he's very, very proud about. This one I'm very proud about. I'm so proud about this because remember when I said, what have you got to lose? Well, it turns out it was even better than that.
I'm very proud of African-American unemployment stands at the lowest rate ever recorded.
I don't even need to fact check that guy. I just need to look at their faces to know he's lying.
Well,
rise, millennials.
He's not lying
about him being responsible for it.
Well, I think what he's lying about is that he's proud about it. Or maybe the issue is that he has no reason to be proud about it because it has nothing to do with anything he's done. Here is a chart going back to 1973. If you look at this chart, you can see that as of 2009, when black unemployment reached not its historical peak, at least in the past 35 years, that was back in 1981. But certainly its highest point is since 81, which was around about, I think, 17%. It has been dropping in a perfectly straight line, essentially, with no real change since 2000 and about 10. So obviously this is not something that Donald Trump is responsible for. It has been the natural trajectory that has been taking place since that time. But he came in and I'll tell you what I'm proud about. I didn't make a law saying the black people can't work.
How about that? I didn't reinstitute Jim Crow, Boulanyags.
There you go.
Clap for me.
How come I get no credit? I get no credit for that whatsoever.
I mean, on that one, that is the type of one where, you know, anybody would do that, right?
Yes.
So that's one of those, he's just being like typical, disingenuous, whatever.
Yes, that is true. Fair enough. That is a fair, I think.
The I'm proud of it is milking it.
I mean, of course, he's always going to milk it more. But Bush would have done that. Clinton would have done that. You know, I don't think that one's exceptional. I just like to track some of these things. Like, where are we creating new ground here in terms of how demented this guy is, and where are we just doing the same old
Let's
nonsense?
Let's go to the new ground the where new we're grounds? Talking about cool. where, how demented we are with Donald Trump. And I've got a story here about how ICE was... There are times where the House of Representatives apparently can step in... House Judiciary Committee, and ask for a review of certain cases. There was a Palestinian man named Amar Othman Adi, 57 years old. He has been living in the United States for nearly 40 years. The House Judiciary Committee requested that the Department of Homeland Security review his case, which would have allowed him to temporarily remain in the United States However, ICE authorities deported him on Monday. That was yesterday. I should say 2 days ago. He was ripped from his four daughters, his wife, and the country that he's called home for 30 years, said Representative Tim Ryan from Ohio, who had been fighting his deportation. So here's the deal. He arrived in the United States 40 years ago. His wife and three daughters are all U.S. citizens. He had his green card revoked after authorities accused him of marriage fraud. I guess initially when he came into the country. He was never granted a day in court to fight the charge, despite his ex-wife signing an affidavit confirming that the marriage was indeed legitimate and claiming that authorities had pressured her to previously say the marriage had been fake. He and his current wife have been fighting the charge for years without success. He's been facing a deportation order since 2009. He was spared under Obama's administration thanks to a private bill passed in the House of Representatives. Trump did away with that provision, and in September, Othman Adi attended what he thought was a regular ICE check-in meeting. Instead, agents placed an ankle bracelet on him. He's been in this country for 40 years paying taxes with no brushes with the law, shows up, has an ankle bracelet placed on him, and told that he had till January 7th to exit the country. He and his wife sold their house in Youngstown, Ohio, and purchased plane tickets to Amman, Jordan, where he is a citizen. Early this year, he was told that the deportation had been called off. When he showed up for another routine ICE meeting on January 16th, he was detained with zero explanation and placed in jail. On January 18th, the House Judiciary Subcommittee on Immigration and Border Security voted to request that DHS review his case, which would have placed the six-month stay on the deportation. ICE ignored it. So, all right, it's with that backdrop. We know what ICE is doing, right? We know how they are actively terrorizing the immigrant community in this country. There is no possible argument to be made that deporting someone who is been in this country for 40 years, paying taxes, obeying the law, forced to sell his house with a citizen wife and citizen children, is in any way making us safer, diminishing the threat to us. There's just no practical reason to do it other than to terrorize the immigrant community. Period. End of story. So we know that's the reality of what's going on. Now what we're going to do, and we have this basis, and we know what's going on with immigration policy on the ground. Let's watch Donald Trump lie about what our immigration processes are in this country as a way to gin up anti-immigration fervor, not just anti-undocumented immigrant fervor, but anti-immigration fervor. And he does this, and he knows he needs to lie about it. Now, does he know, or does this Stephen Miller know? And they give it to him, and he lies. Here is the first clip of Donald Trump talking about the random green cards of the Visa lottery system. You know, lottery, like you just buy a ticket, anybody can win.
The third pillar ends the Visa lottery, a program that randomly hands out green cards without any regard for skill, merit, or the safety of American people.
All right. So without any regard for skill, merit, or the safety of American people, in order to be eligible for the lottery, applicants must demonstrate that they have a high school education or 2 years of work experience within the past 5 years in an occupation that requires at least 2 years of training or experience to perform. So their merit is established.
Just anything.
They're obviously vetted as well. It's absurd. But now let's move on to what he calls chain migration, which is officially known as family reunification. Family reunification, not chain migration. Okay.
The fourth and final pillar protects the nuclear family by ending chain migration. Under the current broken system, a single immigrant can bring in virtually unlimited numbers of distant relatives. Under our plan, we focus on the immediate family by limiting sponsorships to spouses and minor children. This vital reform is necessary not just for our economy, but for our security and for the future of America. In recent weeks, two terrorist attacks in New York were made possible by the visa lottery and chain migration. In the age of terrorism, these programs present risks we can just no longer afford. It's time to reform.
Okay. So, it is not the case that a single immigrant can bring in virtually unlimited numbers of distant relatives. Green card holders can sponsor their spouses and young children for permanent residence right now. Legal citizens can petition residence for parents, siblings, and adult children. Period. End of story. In 2013, a study found that each new immigrant sponsors an average of not 22, as Trump claims, not unlimited, 3.45 family members. And in many instances, it gets a lot trickier, too, right? Where you can bring in your mom, but you can't bring in your sibling. Your seven-year-old sibling. So somebody, maybe the mom will wait. And then they get caught up and then they lose their place. It's absurd. But here's the point. Trump or whoever it is in the administration, it doesn't matter. Know that they need to lie about this to gin up anti-immigrant fervor. This is the way they do it, right? They control the banking. They're sitting behind us with the knives and they stick us in the back. Whatever it is, whatever lie that they're doing, they're targeting immigrants. They're targeting immigrants with lies to gin up anti-immigrant fervor. And it is, it's certainly working amongst their base. I mean, remember, we weren't talking, remember Doug,
how could you forget? Of
course. The Trump voter. Well, I think, you know, some people on the free show probably aren't familiar with him. This guy would call in and he would just say, all I'm talking about is undocumented immigrants. And he called in the other day and he now has a problem with just immigrants.
Always. He always had a problem with immigrants. Let's be real here.
Well, you know what? It's not even that he always or he didn't. The point is that when these people are authoritarians. So when Donald Trump decides that there's a problem with immigrants, they decide there's a problem with immigrants. If Donald Trump tomorrow said, I care about the deficit, they'd care about the deficit. He says, I don't care about the deficit. They would say, I don't care about the deficit. But the danger here is that you've got 25% of the population who are just waiting for a guy who knows that bigotry is his best friend, electorally speaking, to come out with another pronouncement. Who has surrounded himself still with KKK, white supremacist, civic nationalists, whatever you want to call them. And so, and these authoritarian followers are just waiting for their directives.
We need to shut down the fucking airports again. I'm serious. Like, remember right after the election?
Yep.
When the Muslim ban happened and everyone was very excited to do that. Well, it hasn't stopped. So we need to have rolling direct actions for the entire time that they're doing this.
I would love to see more interference of ICE.
I think there's no doubt that this is also really synchronized. Like, you know, that whole frame that this was like an outlier. And remember when, even during the primary, when like, oh, the main, you know, the quote unquote mainstream Republicans, they've moved on and now they understand that we need to have some form of immigration reform and so on. But I think that like what's so clear is that not only are they accepting the base's desire and the sort of the xenophobia and authoritarian impulse, it's also just it's basic electoral strategy for them. Like, why would they want Texas to start looking like Colorado? You know, it's like same reason they've gutted the Voting Rights Act. Like, they just don't want a broad society because it's not electorally advantageous. So for a lot of these, you know, people, sure, it's racism, it's xenophobia. And then for a fair amount of them, it's just pure calculus. And it makes total sense.
The right. outcome is the same.
Exactly.
So last night, there were at least two. I think Don Edwards gave actually the WFP response. But there were two major, well, actually three major responses to the to last night's State of the Union. The obviously the biggest response to the State of the Union happened on this program, where Judy Gold gave a response to the State of the Union. I don't think do we have a clip of that? No, we don't have a clip of that, but we will post it. Okay. We will clip that and post that as it's standalone. She did that from the Great Hall here at Majority Report headquarters.
Majority Report study.
Yes. Representative Joe Kennedy Jr. gave a speech. I mean, it was you know, sort of... a little bit soaring rhetoric type of stuff. It was, you know.
It was nothing special. Give the kid a break. It was fine.
It was fine.
It was fine.
And I thought, like, you know, as far as live speeches go, I thought it was pretty good. I liked the fact that he wasn't wearing a coat, and I would have liked the audience to be a little bit dressed down, right. Frankly. We talked about that. But I, you know, I just, the soaring rhetoric stuff just... it just doesn't do it for me as much. I didn't notice this at the time, but this was also a big mistake. Just because we've just talked about how Donald Trump is lying about our immigration system. Okay? So we need to be very specific and very clear on what we're talking about when we talk about anything involving immigration. Joe Kennedy talked about dreamers. And he said, he started by saying, to all the dreamers watching tonight, let me be clear. Let's listen to this. You tell me if you see what the problem is here.
And to all the dreamers out there watching tonight, let me be absolutely clear. Ustedes son parte de nuestra historia. Vamos a luchar. Vamos a luchar por ustedes. Y no, nos vamos a alejar. You are part of our story. We will fight for you, and we will not walk away.
Here's the problem. The vast majority of dreamers speak English as a first language, I would imagine. I would imagine there are far more dreamers who don't speak Spanish than don't speak English. I mean, extensively. And so this idea that he has to speak in Spanish to be absolutely clear to these people, it's actually the opposite. Let me be very clear. I'm just going to speak in English because that's the whole point. You've been here for a long time. You came here as children. Perfectly fine if you want to drop your Spanish in. I completely approve of a president who speaks Spanish. My greatest regret is that I don't speak Spanish. But let's be smart about this.
Also, they literally just did walk away from fighting for the Dreamers. Like, we were talking about it all last week.
Well, we'll see. They get another bite at the apple in a couple of days. I mean, literally, another
opportunity to bank on the Dreamers.
There you go.
I mean, yeah, I don't know. And it was so hackneyed. I mean, honestly, it's like you also could... you're absolutely right. And you could also just as easily speak, Korean or Polish or, you know, it's like even just the frame that it's just people from Latin America.
Yeah.
Buys into.
It's just not the time to do that.
Not to mention.
Avi Kibar, Trump, Sarkar.
Right.
Well, I would say that's the problem with performative politics, but he's not even doing performative politics correctly.
Yes. It was a misperformance. But nevertheless, And I like the guy. I mean, I'm partial to the Kennedys. I mean, I grew up, you know. All right. So, but with that said, here is, I think, what the best response to Donald Trump was. Again, I would love if Joe Kennedy, or frankly, Jane Kennedy, or frankly, Kennedy, you know, Randall Kennedy's daughter, Jane Kennedy, would sit down in front of a camera and basically just line by line say, hey, this is why Donald Trump is full of crap, and this is what we need to do. And in this instance, it came from Bernie Sanders.
But what President Trump failed to mention is that his first year in office marked the lowest level of job creation since 2010. In fact, according to the Bureau of Labor Statistics, 254,000 fewer jobs were created in Trump's first 11 months in office than were created in 11 months before he entered office. Further, when we talk about the economy, what's most important is to understand what is happening to the average worker. And here's the story that Trump failed to mention tonight. Over the last year, after adjusting for inflation, the average worker in America saw a wage increase of, are you ready for this, 4 cents an hour, or 0.17%. Or to put it in a different way, that worker received a raise of a little more than $1.60 a week. And as is often the case, that tiny wage increase disappeared as a result of soaring healthcare costs. Meanwhile, at a time of massive wealth and income inequality, the rich continue to get much richer while millions of American workers are working two or three jobs just to keep their heads above water. Since March of last year, the three richest people in America saw their wealth increase by more than $68 billion. Three people, a $68 billion increase in wealth. Meanwhile, the average worker saw an increase of 4 cents an hour. Tonight, Donald Trump touted the bonuses he claims workers received because of his so-called tax reform bill. What he forgot to mention is that only 2% of Americans reported receiving a raise or a bonus because of this tax bill, 2%. What he also failed to mention is that some of the corporations that have given out bonuses, such as Walmart, AT&T, General Electric, and Pfizer, are also laying off tens of thousands of their employees. Kimberly Clark, the maker of Kleenex and Huggies, recently said they were using money from the tax cut to restructure, laying off more than 5,000 workers and closing 10 plants.
There you go. So Bernie Sanders lays it out what the real problem is and what Donald Trump was not telling people. And look, those are important talking points. There should have been every Democrat, and I didn't watch, and maybe they were, every Democrat should have been on the news last night repeating that. And every Democrat should be out on the stump from now until the election in 2018 repeating these problems. On top of all the issues in terms of immigration and et cetera. And there's no, look, there's no indication. The only impact of a State of the Union address in this instance is how does it influence those half dozen, two dozen Democrats running for re-election in a red Senate seat. That is it. Or a purple Senate seat. That is it. That's the only difference. And that is why you go out there and you start hammering them and you make these numbers look bad, because you need to hold the Democrats together. All right, we're going to take a quick break and head into the fun half. Just breaking now. This is what happens, ladies and gentlemen, when you let something like Benghazi go. Trey Gowdy has decided he is not running for re-election.
You Goodbye, know, fish face.
Look, we're going to talk about this. You know, I was on Ring of Fire. I spoke to Jeff Hauser, who is at the what is the name of that
Hauser Institute?
No, he's Just with kidding. The EPI. It's a revolving door. He reports on revolving door. Really, basically, corruption in the Trump administration. And we were talking. Charlie Savage has a piece today about the Nunes memo. We'll talk about it in the fun half. But one of the things that we're seeing, I think, with these retirements, it's not just, oh, we're going to get wiped out in the 2018 election, and I don't want to be in the minority again, although that's very possible for a guy like Trey Gowdy. I think there's also a lot of Republicans who are starting to realize, like, we're effed. Like, people are following Devin Nunes down this thing, this path, with Paul Ryan's blessing. And the way that Hauser explained it to me is like, look, you have two options, right? You're either going to be with the herd or you're not going to be with the herd. And to not be with the herd feels a lot less secure. So if you're not going to be with the herd, what you're going to do is you're going to retire, because you don't want to be alone. And some people may just get too sick, like, to their stomach about being with the herd, knowing that there's a chance that they're basically just being run to a cliff. Because I was trying to understand, like, what's the end game? What's the end game?
Well, now's as good a time to cash out as any, right?
Like, why? Well, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about what's the end game with Devin Nunes, who is clearly trying to just muddy the waters, but to what end? Like, at one point, either Mueller gets fired or not get fired. But if he gets fired, like, where does this really leave you at one point? You know, I mean,
doesn't a guy like Nunes strike you as like the thing about Trump is that he literally is the typical Fox viewer, and Nunes has started to strike me as like he really is just like an authoritarian follower.
I think there could even be more. I think there could even be more incentive for Nunes. Remember, he was on the transition team.
Right.
Who knows what he's mixed up in? His motivations are almost the most understandable, because he could be dealing with some direct self-interest here. I mean, we don't know. His behavior seems motivated enough that there's some direct evidence. But when you have other members of the Republican who sit on the Republican House Intelligence Committee, and they say, we're going to vote to release Nunes's memo, but not the Democrats' memo, then you have to start wondering, like, why would they do this? Like, what do they think is going to come out of this? We'll talk a little bit more about that in the fun half, perhaps. Folks, just a reminder. I felt like we pissed off some people last night with the YouTube with the State of the Union, because we had two cancellations last night. Yeah.
Maybe they didn't appreciate our language.
It's possible.
You don't make fun of Donald Trump. This is serious business, do you see?
Why do you have to work blue? Look, folks, it is the support of people like you who make this show possible. And by becoming a member of the Majority Report, you become a member of the Majority Report, and you make this show possible. And as a thank you, we give you access to a daily bonus material. So much material that you'd be like, oh, I'm sick of material. But you can then pick and choose.
Shout out to whoever combined me and Judy Gold in their mind when they made a comment about a tattooed feminist dyke. OMG, walking cliche.
There you go. Also,
to be a YouTube commenter.
JustCoffee.coop, fair trade coffee, tea, or chocolate. Use the coupon code MAJORITY, get 10% off. Don't forget, TMBS was on Monday night. You can find it on iTunes or YouTube. And Jamie's Patreon is at jamiepeckpatreon.com or patreon.com/jamiepeck.
Yes, I just published a new post. I want everybody to read it.
New post up, fresh content. All right, folks, 646-257-3920 is the number. We'll be right back.